They're trying to help you grapple with your own identity. They're trying to ask you, well, what does body image mean to you? In fact, we're actually proposing that it's not about image, but it's about images. It's about body consciousness. And every single one of these films, from Amazon Falls to Say My Name, to Africa Rising, to Orgasm Inc., they are all talking about personal narratives. People on a journey discovering themselves, learning to appreciate parts of their bodies, learning to rediscover uses for parts of their bodies, and really, really bodies as resistance as well. One of the films that we're really, really, really impressed with is Africa Rising. And, you know, we're all familiar with this notion of female genital mutilation. We are all familiar with this notion. And, you know, living in the West oftentimes, you know, we look far yonder and criticize those other people. But this film really takes a different approach. This film is about men and women speaking against FGM and debunking this myth that all of Africa embraces and celebrates and performs FGM. And in fact, it's showing us that this is something that is not a cultural trend. It's not based in culture. It is a practice that people in Africa themselves are rebelling against and resisting against so that women can take ownership of their bodies. And the more we think about how acts we do right here, such as vaginoplasty and other cosmetic trends that we think are, you know, our liberal choices, the more we are able to see the connection between that oppression of women's body and other oppressions of women's bodies over the globe, I think the better we'll all be to actually working and trying to eradicate this. So again, I just want to say thank you for coming. You know, bite back, be resistant, challenge social norms, love food, love pizza, love Big Macs. Diets, there's a reason why the word die is in diets. You know? And see bodies as sexual beings. For goodness sakes, if we're going to be sexual objects, we can at least enjoy our sexuality and be proud of it. So have a great night. Drink wine, drink water, eat magic, have sex, do whatever you want to do.
Last weekend, the National Film Board in Toronto played host to the second annual Bite Me International Body Image Film Festival. Although body image has played a profound role in the lives of women and how they see themselves in media, Jill Andrew, the director of Bite Me, proposes that the issue is about body images. Bite Me is not solely about women. It is about how social attitudes, class structure, sexual liberties, and body images are all intimately weaved together in the media. Bite Me is about representation using our own bodies as the medium. I was able to talk with Jill Andrew, the founder and director of Bite Me.
So we're here at the Bite Me Film Festival 2011 in Toronto, and I'm with the director of the film festival. So can you just please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jill Andrew, and thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
So can you tell me why it's so important to have a film festival like this?
This festival adds to an already growing conversation about bodies, not just representation of bodies or how images impact us and how we feel about our bodies, but a conversation around how bodies are strong, how our bodies move in society, what our bodies have to fight through, and celebrating those body stories. So, you know, most of the films you'll see, it's not so much just about the media, the bad guy, the media, but they're also really about persons who are taking charge of their bodies, who are biting back against the isms, who are, you know, trying to redefine themselves, whether it be through public breastfeeding, you know.
That's an interesting topic, too.
Really, you know, whether it be by finally letting go of this myth that they have a sexual dysfunction and realizing that female sexual dysfunction is something that the media and medicine essentially cook up so that women can continue to always feel inadequate. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that myself.
Well,
so
I'm no expert. I learned it after seeing Orgasm Inc.
Films. That's so interesting. So why did you pick like these particular movies? I know you touched on it a little bit, but can you go a little bit more in depth?
Yes. I picked films that I thought would agitate or enlighten audience members. I picked films that spoke on a broader sociocultural, socioeconomic discussion on body image or body consciousness or body awareness or body activism, like Weightless, where you have director Faith Pinnock, who's talking adamantly about fat women who scuba dive and breaking the stereotype about how you have to look to be a scuba diver, right? So they're all films that tell someone's story, but they're political films, I feel at least, and rather relevant and not what you'd find on necessarily TLC. I mean, mind you, I love TLC. Oh, geez, don't bite the hand that feeds you sometimes. But at the same time, I think sometimes things are more so about the grotesque, right? It's more about, check it out, the 800-pound fattest man in the world, right?
It kind of seems, you know, like exploitation in a way. Exactly. That's how I always felt.
It's, you know, the biggest loser, you know? and then they set up this scenario where, you know, you lose 500 pounds in 2 weeks. You're a success story. You go home to your impoverished life or your 10-hour job, your four kids, your cheating partner, or whatever your story is, and you're still supposed to maintain the 400-pound weight loss that you lost in a week.
Good.
And you're a failure! No wonder, right? So these films speak to a different story, I think.
So can you please just tell us what your favorite film is and why it's your favorite?
Jeez.
Or if you have more than one favorite.
Okay. One of my favorites is Jen Silent. And Jen Silent is a film by Stu Maddox. And this is a very serious, I dare not say sad, but it is sad. But it's also, there's a piece of hope in the film. And what Stu is doing is he's taking us on a journey and learning about the lives of LGBTQ seniors who fought for justice. They fought for their right to be gay, to be trans, to be bisexual, to be whatever they were in their youth, in their 30s, in their 40s. And now, because of homophobia and transphobia, they're being pushed, if not kicked back, in my opinion, into the closet, because they're dealing with, you know, people in nursing homes, care providers coming into their home who are homophobic and transphobic. And we are really lucky to have had community co-sponsors to support us in making that film, or should I say in bringing that film to Toronto's Bite Me. And those were BlackCAP, Black Coalition for AIDS Prevention, and EGAL Canada. And, you know, these organizations, and Inside Out, actually, Film Festival, these organizations, dare I say, are the heartbeat of Toronto's queer community, and they really advocate for those who have a voice, but that voice often gets lost in the mainstream.
So I know that Pride is here as well, and that's a big, big thing. So why did you decide to bring Bite Me to Toronto?
Why? Oh, geez. Why not? You know, why not? I live in Toronto. You know,
it's
a
great city, right?
Yeah, I live in Toronto. You know, I'm a graduate student here at York in Toronto, doing education with an emphasis on women's representation. And at the end of the day, I was that teenager at 15 years old in Toronto at Kennedy Station on the RT, sitting in my beautiful blue dress from Le Chateau with strapless arms. And this gentleman came on with a dog, and I was afraid of the dog. And I was, you know, trying to make myself smaller. And he turned to me and said, if you weren't such an effing black bee with an itch, you wouldn't be scared of my dog. And that moment for me, in grade 9-ish, sitting with my friend Keisha, who's still one of my closest friends and also a York graduate, having the RT erupt in laughter, including adults, and no one really saying if I was okay or nothing, you can imagine where my self-esteem went. Yeah. You know, being fat, sure, whatever, maybe I was a size 18 then, wearing my, you know, Le Chateau dress, feeling sexy, and all of a sudden, boom, I was stepped on in a second, right? And I think that's where, critically, that's where I started to realize that there was something wrong with women taking up too much space. And more so, there was something wrong with being a black woman taking up too much space. That was the real clincher, right? So I think that's kind of where my activism started. I may not have called myself a feminist then, or I want to have a film festival then, or anything like that, but I knew that bodies were really important. And then I have people like my professors at York in theater to thank. Through theater, you learn how your body moves, you learn movements, you learn your limitations. So the body became not so much of an image that I had to dress up or wonder if I looked like Tyra Banks, but more so about, you know, gosh, what my stomach has to go through, right? You know, what my stomach has gone through because I've been ill and I've had surgeries and, you know, what my how strong my knees are considering I broke them 15 years ago. So you build a different relationship with your body. And I think that's what this festival is about, is allowing people to come in, sit down, hear someone's story and think, wow, I never realized there was a link between racism and body image. Oh, wow, I didn't think there was a link between poverty and the teeth you have in your mouth, or showing teeth, for instance, and your inability to get a job because of the gap in your mouth or because of the overlapped tooth in your mouth, which is a direct socioeconomic issue for those who can't get veneers, right? You know, so it's really about letting you leave, and it's more than the magazine. It's more than, oh, we hate cosmetic surgery here at Bite Me, because we don't hate cosmetic surgery here at Bite Me, but we do want people to think. Think macro, you know, think, and then think micro, and you know, and be a critical thinker, and bite back. And that's where the name, if you're wondering, you know, Bite Me is about resistance, bite back. It's the politically correct way of saying F you. And Bite Me is about sexuality. It's about seeing the body, the fat body, the skinny body, the disabled body, the queer body, as a sexual living creature and not just an object to be looked at and fetishized. And it's also about food. You know, it's like, for God's sakes, if I have a freaking Big Mac, all of a sudden I'm a bad person, right? So this festival is saying, have the bloody Big Mac. You know, do what you want to do in moderation.
Right, they're just going to Photoshop you
on
the covers.
Well, geez, I tell you, right? That whole Photoshopping thing, that's a whole other dog and pony show, right? Whole other dog and pony show. But that's Bite Me in a crux. That's really, you know, in the nutshell, that's what it is.
Yeah, so why did you decide a film festival? If, like, body image is such a big, like, it's a big thing in the media.
Yes.
So why did you decide to do more media?
You know, well, it's about creating your own media, right? And I think that's one of the biggest pieces. You know, part of Bite Me is we run a 3-day girls empowerment program on self-esteem and media literacy. And, you know, through our partnership with the NFB, we're able to bring kids who, you know, chances are may not usually get to even come downtown because of a whole plethora of economic and issues around safety and whatnot. We bring them here, and they're trained in digital media. They're trained in arts-based techniques. They're trained to become media citizens, savvy media citizens through the NFB and through Bite Me so that they can create the media they want to see. So when you ask me why I create a film festival, it's because, you know, I don't want to be the person. I didn't want to just leave another film and think, gosh, if only they had this film on. You know, I wanted to kind of be the person in charge, quite frankly, and take back some of that power and create the films and put what I want to see on the screen. You know, really, that's, you know, today so far we had No Numbers, which is a film where the director who survives eating disorders speaks about her relationship with her eating disorder. And I did that in quotations because the film really shows the impact of looking at an eating disorder as an eating problem, which makes it more of a social problem. You know, then you can couch it into the social things that are happening that cause this, rather than pathologizing it and making it all about the sick little woman that has no self-esteem, which is what so often happens. We had a Club Native today showed as well, you know, where we spoke or where, you know, that film kind of addresses the blood quantum and this notion of, you know, how much Native blood counts and this notion of a racist and sexist policy dictating to our First Nations persons who is and who isn't enough Native. Like, this is ludicrous. You know, tonight we'll have Amazon Falls, as I think I mentioned with Katrin Bowen. She's going to be here. And, you know, she will give us her take a bit about her own life as an actress and a model in L.A. about what women struggle through, and particularly aging women and women who aren't, you know, 40 and trying to be 12, right? Or 12 trying to be 22. So it's quite a great festival. I love Confessions of a Superhero. You know, this follows the story of three adults who are looking for fame and fortune, but are looking for it dressed up as Superman and the Incredible Hulk. And, you know, so that raises very complicated questions. You know, they want fame and fortune, but do you want it for yourself or do you want it as the Hulk? Like, where's identity there, right? So it's a list. It's we're really proud of some of the films we're showing. We're showing one called Africa Rising, which kind of talks about female genital mutilation. But I'm happy that this film takes it away from the Western conversation that we usually have. I mean, geez, a couple nights ago I was watching the news about, you know, a Western, you know, CNN station, Muslim women performing virgin surgery, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, to replace their hymen and all of this, and I'm thinking, we here in the West have a way of talking about the other, right, and the people that we, you know, can't spell the country they're from. Meanwhile, right here, you know, vaginoplasty is probably offered half a block down from here. And it's a very similar surgery, right? So what Africa Rising does is it debunks the myth that every black man in Africa or every elder woman in Africa is out performing FGM. That's not the case. This film speaks specifically to men and women who have aligned themselves to stop this practice. And the film very clearly says this is not a cultural practice at all. This is not some culture thing, right? Because, again, in the West, we're very big sometimes in saying, you know, the person over there, it's their culture. Meanwhile, we've got rapists and murderers here, and, you know, it's just because they're a bad person, right? It's not Canadian culture or anything like that. So, you know, I'm really, really excited about that film, too.
Yeah. I really like how a lot of the movies here aren't just about one body image, they're about a whole, just like the body in general and yes. Everything to do with it. Yes. That's I really like that aspect of it as well.
Yes, well, you know, I have to give credit to one of my professors, Karen Stanworth, who challenged me in class one day and said, Jill, you know, you talk about body image, and I guess I always knew I meant the plural in my head, but she's the one that kind of got me into saying body images, right? Because there is no image of a body. And if we're talking plurality, if we're talking diversity, if we're talking, you know, more of a diasporic, you know, a world view on this topic, we can't talk of body image, right? So it's really about a body image is. And for this film, I think this film is mostly about individuals and their consciousness of their bodies. You know, what their bodies go through, their boundaries, their limitations, what their bodies are asking, you know, what their bodies are doing for them. And that may be a little abstract. I mean, heck, we've got a film that's asking, you know, is there a perfect penis, right? You know, and then you've got all these penises that think they're perfect. And even that's interesting, too, because then through this film, you're sitting and you're starting to think, you know, masculinity, right? And that's another piece that we're very proud of with the festival, is it's not just a women's voice. It's a voice about gender. You know, it's a voice about these, you know, dichotomies, male and female. And, well, what about what's in between? Or, you know, where is the male's voice? And I think the male's voice does come through in some of our films where we see guys grappling with their identity and grappling with their sexuality and grappling with, you know, their sexual organs and whether it's approved by society. And, you know, and we also see men playing an ally role, you know, to many women in our films. So that's something I'm proud of as well, too.
Okay, that sounds great. Just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. if you wanted to volunteer or if you're interested in helping out with this cause, how can one go about and do that?
You hop onto the website, www.bitemefilmfest.com, and you'll send us an email. And you know, you let us know what you're interested in, you let us know what your skills are, and you know, you let us know, more importantly, what your passion is. You know, why is body image important to you, or should I say body images? why is Bite Me, right, important to you, and what do you think you could bring to the project? You know, after this festival wraps on Sunday, and of course I should say all festival schedule is online, you can buy tickets online as well as at the National Film Board. After the 10th, we'll be taking a hiatus for about 3 weeks, and then we'll meet as a team again in August. to start brainstorming and reflecting on this year and our inaugural year in 2010, and then we'll get a better idea of exactly where we're going and who we'll want and need to come along on the journey.
Yeah. So just as a wrap-up, is there anything else that you'd like to mention?
I want to mention that, you know, I'm the festival director and founder. Certainly it's my baby and I love my baby, but it wouldn't have happened without sponsors. It wouldn't have happened without our founding media sponsor, that being Global Toronto. It would not have happened without the NFB as our founding venue and educational partner. It wouldn't have happened without my steering committee, my advisors, my selections committee. Many of us are York students and or grads.
York,
eh? Give me a break. Pay for my tuition, York. Look at this plug. We have Ashley DeMartini. We have Shaka Reed, Tina Reed, all students, all of us are, you know, crying at our essays and still plowing forward. My partner, Aisha Faircloth, and I know, and Claudia as well, who is from the NFB, and who has been, you know, doing business and taking names. Like, you know, we've all just kind of worked together and tried our best. Of course, I want to thank my mom for all of those long nights where I've been, you know, my fuse has been this short. And volunteers. I mean, we're really lucky. We have Crystal Ann Booth with us this evening from the Toronto International Deaf Film and Arts Festival. And she is amazing. You know, she's a volunteer coordinator and absolutely fantastic. And yeah, we just couldn't do it without our sponsors. But go online, you know, bitemefilmfest.com. You'll see our sponsors. You'll get to know a bit about our films, a bit about us. And yeah. Press send.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I can't wait to watch some of these
so
films.
Much.
Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, actually, I don't know any of the films. I heard Jill talking about them, and they sound wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to the film festival this weekend.
So which one are you looking most forward to seeing?
The ones she talked about. Again, I don't know much about the films, the titles, but just the content is very interesting, I think.
Okay. So what drew you to volunteering for this particular film festival?
Well, Jill told me that she needed some hands, and so I offered. I think volunteering is very important, and I volunteer with many different organizations, mostly in the deaf community because of the program I'm in at school. But, you know, I think volunteering in for whatever I believe in, causes, issues, anything, I think is very important. I think it doesn't only benefit the organization that's getting help, but it's also benefiting the people who are volunteering. So,
right. So do you think volunteering is a very important part of this whole body image festival? Like they were mentioning, they had the camps, like the youth zone to help people out, that kind of thing?
Well, I do think, I'm not really sure of the specific details of who volunteered for what, so I'm not sure about the camps, but I think any organization is dependent on volunteers, whether it be, you know, a corporation or a not-for-profit organization, there's going to be some level of volunteerism, so it's very important.
Do you have, like, any personal experiences that really made you want to help out with Bite Me? I think we've all had kind of, like, experiences when people say things to us that kind of, like, knocks down our self-esteem completely.
Well, I suppose. Growing up, I was always a tall girl. So I was always tall. I was always bigger in general just because proportionally I was bigger than everybody else. I don't know, like growing up, my grandparents would go to Florida and get clothes and they wouldn't fit. And so then they wouldn't return them and I just wouldn't get a gift that year.
And for those skeptics who may feel like, okay, Bite Me, here we go again with women ranting about, you know, certain issues, what would you like for or men to really know about the actual festival itself?
Well, I think they should realize that everything, it's not all about just women's image, men and their issues, you know, sexuality, their identity, how they identify with, you know, what is masculine. So I think it's not just if they were to overgeneralize and say, well, this is for women and this is for their body issues. Well, it's not. It's more general and it kind of impacts everybody differently. And just from the films, they're not all about one topic. They have a range.
Along with Bite Me, Youth Zone has bridged the gap between media and reality. The workshop ran for 2 days prior to the festival, and it aimed to provide girls between the ages of 10 to 17 with the tools to empower themselves and strengthen their self-esteem. Ashley DeMartini, the co-facilitator of Youth Zone, sat down to speak with me about the program.
Role and experience with Bite Me. I've been working out with the Girls Youth Zone, and I've been a facilitator. I also work at the National Film Board, so I do wear many hats. And I've helped lately, this past Girls Youth Zone, I led a 3-day workshop with girls creating a digital story about their experiences in relation to body image, in relation to fitting in, to stereotypes, in relation to peer pressure, and what came out of those 3 days and the stories that these girls told inspired me. And it inspired me in ways that just maybe, you know, wanted to step up and be a better person. And it's so amazing when you get these stories from these 13, 14 year girls that are just, you know, changing your life, and really, like, they have so much wisdom, and they were able to express that through our digital stories. And that's also a workshop that we do here at the National Film Board.
You spoke about the Youth Zone and speaking with the girls. How has it changed in terms of when you were 13, 14, some of the issues that you dealt with at 13, 14? Is it any different or is it the same?
That's a really good question. And that's a question that came up during the Youth Zone with the girls. You know, a long time ago, I was 13, 14, and we didn't have social media. So at the end of the day, maybe I'd go home and, you know, play with my friends or watch TV or do something. Now the kids go home and they're online, and there's, you know, these forums where you can speak your mind, and there's the social bullying doesn't stop at school. It's entering into the kids' bedrooms. It's entering into the kids' living rooms. The kids, you know, the girls and boys cannot escape this. So this is a much more difficult task for the girls and boys to negotiate through, and also the way that the media has become more pervasive as we, you know, use social media more. There's a lot more messages that are, you know, coming back at them, like, you know, maybe I have to be thinner, or maybe my skin's too dark, or maybe my hair's not right, or, and these are all the messages that the girls and boys are coming back with, and especially the girls. I think at this age, they're faced with so many questions and not necessarily having always the outlets to turn to. So Girls Zone was really about bringing it back to their stories and giving them a space to speak from. We were just there to, like, bring it out.
If there was anything that any attendant would like to learn from or leave the film festival with, what do you think that would be?
Well, that body image is a very complex thing, and it's not just the physical. It's not just the physical that we're talking about, but it's the emotional, it's the ideas and philosophy that surround, that inform society to think the way that we do. And like Jill was saying earlier, we want to just not only create critical media citizens in Youth Zone, but we're hoping that the attendees walk away also with this critical, you know, critical state of being.
Is there any particular film that really struck a nerve for you?
Wow, that's such a good one. I knew you were gonna ask me this, and I was like, oh no. Okay, there's our closing film. It's Say My Name, and it's about female hip-hop artists in New York, and it's amazing because it looks at the real struggles behind the scenes of hip-hop that does have a reputation for misogyny, and just, you know, the word, there is the conscious hip-hop, but there's also that main street hip-hop that are projecting these images, just like any other musical genre does. And this documentary looks at what these real women of hip-hop are doing and how they're making it in the industry. And I think, you know, it goes from everyone from the, you know, 1990s, like Raw Digger, and all the way now to Estelle, and you know what I'm talking about. So it's really great because there's a whole bunch of women in between that we get to learn their stories about. So
for those individuals who wanted to be here but couldn't, is there any way or outlet where we could get a chance to see these movies?
I don't know offhand where I could tell you to see these films because people have sent them from all over the world. Some of these are their premiere screenings, others they might go back into other festival circuits. So what I would suggest is going to our website, www.bitemefilmfest.com, checking out those films that you're interested in and doing some research and seeing, you know, where else you could see them, or just maybe next time, make sure you make it out to Bite Me.
Okay, thank you so much, Ashley. We're looking forward to seeing the films this evening.
Bite Me! Hey, you don't even have to like me, because what's important is that I like myself, or even better, love myself and don't fit into the mold of you or anyone else. Hey, you! I saw you grimace. Yeah, because perhaps I don't fit into your ideal body image, but see, I don't care. If it's what you don't like, you can just go ahead and bite. Bite this. Yes, this. What's this? This is a script designed by a person who is not in touch with real womankind. That same person who told me that my BMI was seriously TMI. When I was told about my body mass index, it only made me vexed to be told that my body fat was 36.6 and my waist was too thick and I'd have high blood pressure, diabetes, and many other illnesses, to which I replied, I just had a physical and I don't suffer from any of those things. And who sat down and decided that I was obese based on a scale that was not designed for all women? So again, I say, bite me! And our TV and film industry are a huge part of our young women's identity, and young girls want to grow up and be what they see. But somehow the context of beauty and what is beautiful has been misrepresented, and there has been a misappropriation that is affecting many nations of young girls. Yes, girls from around the world are identifying with someone else's beauty, not seeing enough images of women that look like them, or who might have, God forbid, a spot or a scar on their chin. And this is not good if these are ideals are coming from Hollywood, because Holly ain't too good. And her face, for the age of 76, isn't looking quite like it should. African women have had full lips and beautiful hips and butts that jut out for years, and now Hollywood, or as I say, Holly ain't good, has decided that she wants this. To look like this, to have all of this. Commercials on TV with women much older than me who have flawless skin, and they say it's from some skin regenerating cream and not the plastic surgeon. And to all of this, I say, bite me. I am conflicted because I know that not all women are the same, and that beautiful can be called by so many different names, because all cultures are beautiful and all women are beautiful, and people who come in different shapes or sizes that have flat butts or nice round thighs or those who have full lips or those who are a size 16 and even higher are also beauty queens. So to all of this I say, women, just be happy with who and what you are, because loving yourself from the inside out will surely get you far. And if anyone tries to fit you into a mold, and then please remember these words that you've been told. Hey, you, bite me. You don't even have to like me, because what's important, or even better, is that I love myself and that I live this life for me and not for anyone else. And yeah, you, I saw that grimace just because I didn't fit into your perfect body image. But see, I don't really care because I really, really like me. And so to everyone else, I just say, bite me!
My name's Amani, and I'm based here in Toronto, and I do spoken word and wear a lot of other hats too. Yeah.
So we actually listened to both your poems today, and there seemed to be like a sense of frustration that comes out of them.
Really?
Well, you were like, the images, the media is feeding us these images, we don't like these, you know, bite me. That one seems
okay. I mean, for me, I really wasn't frustration. I usually have sort of, I guess, a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor, but it was called Bite Me because that's the name of the festival, so I actually wrote the piece for this. Okay. And I think it, probably what you heard is that, I mean, I don't really swear and I don't do those things, and it actually felt very liberating to just say those words, like, bite me, you know, because in it I talked about the body mass index and all those types of things, and that really happened to me at the gym this week, where he's telling me all the things that are going to be wrong with me and what I weigh, and I know that I'm fine, so, yeah, but Yeah, but it definitely wasn't frustration. It's just really telling the story and using those words to just say that to people. You know what? It doesn't matter what you say about me. Bite me.
So instead of frustration, can we say like a kind of passion instead?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I would say that I'm passionate about anything I write about because it's you. Even if I'm writing something for someone else or once it's relatable to something I've gone through, or especially something that relates to young women, then you will hear that passion because I work with youth. I've always worked with youth since I was a youth. And I feel as an adult looking at the images on television, I can sort of differentiate what's right or what's wrong or what's crazy. But so many young people are influenced by this and they think, you know, this is how you're supposed to be and this is how you should dress and all those types of things based on what they see.
So we were just asking some of our previous interviewees, like, what was their pivotal experience when they decided, you know, I'm not going to feed into this media machine anymore?
You know, it's for me, I don't know if there's a pivotal experience. I know personally, it's something, I have another piece I didn't do today called Flat Belly Blues, and the theme of that really is that even though you don't want to be influenced by a lot of these things, a lot of times it still happens because it's being drilled at you. But personally, you know, like when the trainer said that at the gym, I mean, I didn't care. Like, I know that I'm not obese, but if you look up the body mass index scale and I punch in my weight, it will say that I'm obese. So that's, yeah.
But a lot of young women are still really, really influenced by this, and they're really influenced, and I guess they kind of feed into this thing so much. So what kind of words would you give them to help them out?
I work with youth all the time, and I mean, I think the main thing is when you learn who you are and you're comfortable with yourself, it sort of doesn't matter what things happen around you. I mean, and it's whether it's from fashion to people not, you know, intelligence isn't cool, or the things that people don't think are cool, is always stressing to them that it's okay, it's fine to be intelligent, it's fine to be a woman of color and intelligent and stand out in school. And, you know, a lot of times certain young people, they prefer to be noticed for the negative things, so it's kind of showing them that, you know what, you can still get attention from doing something positive. And I was one of those kids, you know, that was a bit out of control and a bit of a tyrant and stuff back in the day, and it was learning about my culture and learning the love for the arts that helped turn me around. So, you know, I always say it would be great if I could just do a poem and save the world, right? But I think that if one person listened and they heard something different that made them think, then I'm doing my job.
So why do you think that body image is such a hot topic, and why is it so prevalent in the media?
I don't know why, but I mean, let's just look at television, right? So if I just glimpsed at TV this week, so I can tell you what I saw. I saw the Kardashians. Khloe, it was just like a clip of something, was talking about her body weight and how she was too big and her husband was walking off, and I don't know what size she is. She looks like maybe she's a size 9 or something, which is normal. And I just think a lot of it does come from Hollywood and television, these images of beauty, what it means, you know, being small, you know, models and people that are battling with anorexia and bulimia so they can fit into this size 0, size 1 image, which is not a natural, you know, a great body weight for, if that's your natural weight, fine, but that's not something you should strive to be. And from doing this work for years, I never used to see it so much in young women of color, but it's actually very prominent in a lot of different cultural communities now, but it's from television. I mean, watch the videos, watch any reality TV show, that's always a topic.
So do you hope to fight this stigma with your poetry?
I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and I mean, I guess I probably wouldn't say it that way, but what the way I verbalize it is that I'm glad that I have the medium to express myself this way. So I'm glad if something bothers me or if I get angry about something, I'm not going to go and tear anything out. I'm going to go and take my pen. I'm going to, like I say, take my rage to the page and then to the stage. So I'm glad that I have that way to express myself.
So just as a final question, why do you think it's so important to work with youth?
Oh my goodness. Because when, I guess from having the experience that I had when I was younger and having a brother who was in the arts, who's kind of the person that changed the path I was heading down, because I went through the experience of being in a group that enhanced my self-esteem and made me feel stronger, I know how that changed me. So I always tell people it's just as simple as stopping and talking to a young person that you might not have talked to before, or not being afraid. And it's hard sometimes to not be, because all the images we see on television tend to incite fear because it's so negative. But a lot of times if you talk to those same group of guys, like, they're just regular teenagers doing what teenagers do. So I just, it's important. I mean, I'll always keep doing it, but it's not everybody's thing. So I think everybody has the role that they play in society, right?
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Bite me!